and this is the third week of Advent, and I hope you guys are seeing the theme. The theme is obviously Jesus Christ. Everything we talk about during this season, preparing for his birth, is about Jesus Christ. We started off talking about hope and the hope that Christ brings to us. Then last week we talked about peace, and the peace that we can have through God, the peace that God gave to us when he gave us his Son. And today we're going to talk about joy. And one of the first things that I like to do is, we've talked about our primary scripture. Everybody turn to Luke 2 again. We're going to come back and forth from Luke 1 and Luke 2, and I'll be pointing out some scriptures in there. But we really want to focus on this. The angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." So good tidings or good news of great joy. So this is not just some normal news that the angels are bringing to you. This was the best news that could ever deliver to people, to mankind. So this is what we're going to talk about. The first thing we want to do, like we usually do, is define the word joy. Galatians 5:22 tells us that it's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So we're gonna focus today on joy. Get that straight. We're gonna focus today on joy and talk about what it is. Let's talk about what it's not. What it is. Joy does not mean happiness. Those are different. We can be joyful, although we are not physically happy. What do you think of when you think about joy? Most people think, hey, I'm just happy-go-lucky, I'm giddy. You know, I've got tons of joy. That is not what we're talking about. We are talking about something that's more substantial than happiness. We're talking about, and I'm going to give you a definition, and you'll see it by the end of the lesson we're studying today. Joy is that deep fails to believe that God is in control of everything that happens to you. You are saved by God, and nothing can shake you from that position. That is what the Bible teaches us about joy. It is knowledge. And knowledge doesn't just mean up here, but it's knowledge means in here. Knowledge is the trusting knowledge, the belief that we are saved by God, He is with us and He's in control, and nothing can save us from that position. We talk in Sunday school about some things that people sometimes focus on things they don't have. Well, a lot of people do get joy through things, or happiness through things, like their job, their employment, their new truck, their new house, whatever it may be. But joy doesn't come from what you have. You ever bought a new car, and then about 2 weeks, there's a little dent in it? And what do you think when that first dent happens? You say, oh man, it's not new anymore. Or you drive it off and you realize, well, there went 10% of the value of the car. Whatever it may be, we tend to think, too, if I get this, I'm going to be happy, I'm going to be joyous. But that's not what it is. Joy comes not from what you get, but from what cannot be taken from you. So this is what you, as a child of God, have. You can lose your job, but you can't lose your purpose. But who gave you your purpose? God. You can lose a relationship, but you can't lose God's love for you. You can lose your health, but you can't take away God's grace. God's power to be given to you. And here's the ultimate kicker. You can lose your life, but you cannot take away the promise of eternity that God has. So we're going to focus, as we talk about peace today, we're going to focus on the things that can't be taken away because they come from God. When God gives you something, when He says, if you believe in me, you shall have eternal life. There's not any end of good, is there? It's solve is guaranteed. So we're going to work today. We're going to discover real joy, and we're going to look at it from the Christian story. So the first point that I want to make with you is that joy is present when God is present. And it's the only time that we can have real joy. Joy is present when God is present. And we're going to look at that from the shepherds. A lot of people spend their lives running around looking for happiness, looking for that next joy thing, looking for that next new car, looking for that next big deal. Whatever it is that makes them happy, they think that's going to make them joyful. And what we ultimately see is a lot of those people miss God's joy. They're looking in the wrong place. So, if joy is present when God is present, it means that wherever God is, there's joy. And if you are a child of God, God is with you, right? So, if you are present, joy is present. So, I want to show you this today from the shepherds. So, you would look in Luke 2. The world's got a lot of time in there. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afflicted. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So here are the shepherds. Understand, they're not out there thinking, hey, this is a special month. They're doing their job. Right? And frankly, the one I've learned in studying shepherds and sheep over the years, it's not really a great job. It seems, literally, and it's a lot of hard work. Sheep are not the brightest of animals. So there's a lot of work you got to do to name the sheep. But here they are, and God comes down. The angels come down and make this announcement to them. We are bringing God's joy. So they had joy that night. Otherwise, it would have been just a normal other work, right? They would have just been out there tending the sheep. Nothing special would have happened. But something happened because God intervened. God brought joy down to them. Right? And look at the other thing. This happened real sudden. And the glory of the Lord, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the idea there is that he suddenly came upon them. So we know that a lot of things, if we look at them bad, can happen suddenly, right? You get that medical diagnosis, and all of a sudden your life has changed. You have the car wreck, your life has changed. You have an injury, you have an illness, your life is changing suddenly. But what the Bible tells us is that the joy of God can come upon you suddenly too. And it comes upon you suddenly when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Okay? These guys experience the joy of the Lord. They're out in the middle of nowhere, looking at sheep, watching sheep, and they're coming. So we need to stop worrying about some of the things that can suddenly happen from the standpoint, and realize suddenly happens from a good standpoint too. Good things can happen suddenly, right? And that is that the joy of the Lord can come upon us. And what they were focusing on when they had this joy, as you can read in the story, is they weren't focusing anymore on the sheep, were they? They weren't focusing on the fact that they had a job to do. What they were focusing on then is what the message was. And if you look at the end of the story, it says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning the child. And all that heard it wondered at these things which were told to them by the shepherds. So the shepherds were so joyous about the message they received, they went and told people. They went and got out of their solitary shepherd's life. They went and told people what God had done. That's how joyous they were. But the only reason that they were joyous that night is because God was with them. So joy is present when God is sent. Joy is sent or given by God. Now remember, if it is a confident assurance that God's in control, that He saved us, and that He's working things for our benefit, it is a gift of God. And that's what this story tells you. Because the angel comes down and the angel says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." So He's bringing those good tidings of great joy to the shepherds. You know, they could have spent their lifetime searching for joy. But this one moment is what brought them again. This one moment when God comes down and introduces them to that joy. And I remember, too, the angels announced good news and good tidings of great joy. So there's that. Coming out of good news, and then there's a reaction to it, of great joy. So there's really two things going on, and we'll see this in part three on our story that's going to come from Mary and Joseph and a very unlikely source to inherit. So the third lesson about the children having joy is that joy is a choice. Joy is not something that you learn. Joy is not something that's just going to happen. Joy is a choice. It is taking what God has given you and being thankful for it and being appreciative of it and making that choice. So we looked at the shepherds for the first couple of lessons. Here we're going to look at Mary. So let's remember, Mary is sitting. If you go back to Luke 1, chapter 20, verse 29, Mary's sitting there, and she sees an angel. Let's go back to verse 28. And the angel came into her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she immediately had peace and joy, right? That's not what the story says. And in fact, if you look any time anyone sees an angel in the Bible, it's terrifying. They are not these little Valentine Day cherubs with the little wings on their back. They're frightening creatures. But not the beauty. So here's what it says. That when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." So understand what's going on. She's probably 13 years old at this time. She's not married. She is a virgin. And she's never been with a man. And here comes this angel telling her that she's going to have a child. Can you imagine what's going through her head? Oh, this, how's this going to go? What are people going to say? All kinds of things that she's worried about because of the circumstances she's in. And she could have gone down that path of focusing only on the circumstances, right? And been really torn up with what was going on. But that's not what she did. If you look over, by the time she's thought about it a little bit, look over verses 46 to 48 of Luke 1. Back to verse 47. She said, "In my spirit," and then he said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call him blessed." And she has this whole song that shows us that she has made a choice. She's made a choice that she's going to trust God. What we talked about in Sunday school this morning, you cannot have the security of a believer if you're not going to trust God. Mary made the choice to trust God. She took the good news that the angel brought to her, and she said, "Look, I know there's bad circumstances. I know there's questions people have. I know the town is going to fall. I know all this stuff is going to happen. I am making the choice to trust God. She made the rock one. Now, our other character in our story is King Herod. So, King Herod, when Jesus is born, he's been told about this prophecy, and now all of a sudden he gets the same good news that the shepherds got. Right? He gets the good news that one to you this day in the city of David is born Christ. He gets that good news, and what does he do with it? Is he joyful about it? No, not at all. He's hateful, he's angry, and most of all, he's jealous. He doesn't want there to be a king in Israel besides him. So he makes a choice with the same good news that he's going to go out and kill all of the children. Very Christmas-like, I'm very loving, but that was his choice. You see, they both had the same news. And frankly, it's the same news that the lineup wouldn't told you about. It's the same news that we've read about this morning. Christ has come down to earth. And we have a choice. So what are you going to do? If there's something out of the house, my second favorite guy's role is he deserves first. But my first favorite one is this one. And it says, choose joy. And I really can't explain or emphasize enough that joy really is a choice. We can't decide whether things make us happy. We can't decide whether things make us sad. But we can decide that we're going to have this everlasting kind of joy, this type of joy that comes from God and is based on who God is. And it's just, and you know, sometimes you make the choice, or you make a decision, and you kind of want to walk back a little bit, and you go back towards that choice. We all do that. But if you make the choice, you want to maintain that choice. You want to maintain that joy in the Bible. Surprisingly not, tells us how to maintain that joy. Here's the key to maintaining joy. This comes from John 15, verses 9 through 11. This is Jesus' Father. Because as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things, here's the key part, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So Jesus just gave his disciples, and therefore us, a recipe for how we can keep this joy once we make the decision to have it. And the first one is obey. He says, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, you keep my commandments. Now, a lot of people, when they become Christian, they think, oh, man, there's a laundry list of things I can't do anymore, and I've got to obey. And that is really the wrong attitude about obeying. God keeps us from doing things because they're going to hurt us. He lets us do things that are going to help us grow. He takes us through some things sometimes that are tough, but it's all designed to help us grow. And if we take the godly perspective, obedience is a way to joy. Y'all see that? So Jesus said, look, once you've made this decision, you're going to have joy. But I want you to have my joy. And I want you to have full or complete joy. That's what that word means. So that your joy might be complete. So the first thing he said that you've got to do is you've got to obey. And the second thing is that you've got to remain. If you keep my commandment, you shall abide or live in my love. Even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So we need to remain in Jesus Christ. How long the name of Jesus Christ? We come to church. We pray. We read the Gospels. We read the Bible. We talk to God. We live in God. God wants to live. So we make all of our decisions based on what God says. We face up and we get up in the morning and we say, God, this is your day. We focus on God. We don't focus on the circumstances. But that's what Jesus said about the truth and the pain. They don't accept it. Sometimes it's hard to do, but we are to obey the Lord to the message. Now, the next question is, well, how often am I supposed to be joyful? And the Bible answers that. When should I be joyful? The short answer is always. The long answer is always. So, the answer is always. And here's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, rejoice evermore. And actually, in the original language, what it says is, always be rejoicing. It's a present tense word, and the adverb, the evermore or the always, comes from. So the word, the phrase is actually translated, always be joyful. Can I do that? Can I be joyful when there are problems in my life? Can I be joyful when I'm having issues? Can I be joyful when I'm persecuted? Can I be joyful when people are making fun of me? Can I be joyful when I've got COVID and stuff in the world? Can I be joyful when I've just lost my job? And both the Bible says it. So, 1 Peter 4, 13. And here's what it says. Take a note if I want you to write this in there. You don't have this in all the things. 1 Peter 4, 13 says, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Let's read that again. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. So let's say, rejoice inasmuch as you take part, that's what partakers mean, in Christ's suffering. Christ is mocked, Christ is ridiculed, Christ is ultimately killed. As you go through the same type of persecution that Jesus Christ went through, the Bible says, rejoice. And rejoice all the more. So what really means is, as you feel more of Christ's persecution, or persecution because of who you are, then you should rejoice more. Not less. Yes, it is. It's really, it's hard, humanly speaking, to think how we would do that. But we can do it because God's risen inside us, because God has chosen to be with us. And, you know, James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or different trials. When you're having trials in your life and you're having problems, count it all joy. And he proceeds to tell us that it's a way that God uses it to grow patience and hope. But this is very, very anti-worldly, because the world says we're only supposed to be happy, we're only supposed to have joy when things are going on. Isn't that what the world's message is? I wasn't. They weren't. But we're only supposed to have joy according to the world when things are going well. And that is completely opposite of what God is. And it's because the world's definition of meaning of joy is completely different from the Bible. So, what can I do? If joy is this deep, abiding trust in God, what can I be joyful for? Well, I've given you some warnings. There's hundreds more. We're going to cover some. If you guys can think of others, jot them down in your notes. But look, here are some things that you can always do or be joyful for, and it will help you obey God and remain in God's love. We can always be joyful because we appreciate the character of God. Think about who he is. Think about how loving he is. Think about how merciful he is. Think about how gracious he is. Think about that every single thing that happens to you as a child of God, he is going to orchestrate for your good. Even if the world sees it as bad, even if he sees what bad right now, he is going to take that and he is going to turn it for your good. So we can always be appreciative of the character of God. We can be appreciative for the work of Christ. As we go through all these, what you're going to see is none of these are dependent on your circumstances. These are things that you can always go back to and anchor your joy in. So what is Christ doing? And we know that. That's what this season is all about. Christ came to earth to give himself as a sacrifice for us, that we might spend eternity with him. We have salvation because of Christ. And you know, and I'm sure you guys do, that when we sin one time, God actually would have the right to say, okay, the wages of sin is death. Right? But we have salvation. We have breath. Maybe we're talking about this morning. We have to be thankful for breath. Yeah. We can continue to breathe because God is continuing to let us live. And it's only because of the sacrifice that Christ Jesus made. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. Thank goodness we don't get what we deserve, right? We get it because of the work of God. So we can be appreciative of the character of God. We can have appreciation for the work of Christ. We can appreciate our spiritual blessings. You know, Ephesians tells us that he has gifted us with spiritual blessings in the heavens. These things go on and on. We can look at our material blessings. We can look at the fact that we've got a beautiful church building to come to worship in. We're going to all go home. We've got food. We've got fruit baskets. You know, we've got tons of physical blessings. But think about our spiritual blessings. Think about, you know, being crazy, our spiritual siblings. Those are a blessing. Think about the opportunities you have to interact with your fellow Christians. Think about the opportunities you have to just go pick up a Bible. Some countries you can't do that. 57 countries right now, the Bible is actually illegal. They still have them, and they all read them, but it's illegal. You can just pick it up. You can pick up tons of different translations. You can get it on your phone. You can pick up books. You can do what you can. But think about the spiritual blessing and appreciate those spiritual blessings. We can be appreciative of divine providence. And that's just another way of saying that God will control. There's nothing that touches him off the line. When you go to this country, when you flew back in 1918 or something, he knew it all. And again, he's in charge. Nothing surprises him. If then you catch him off guard, and he's using it. You really need to understand that he's using that to do something in this world. What is it? Sometimes we don't ever know. Sometimes you do get to see what he's doing. But he's got a plan, and his providence is always going to keep that plan moving. We can be appreciative for scriptures. And we talked a little bit about the country of scripture moving. You can sit there today and pick up a scripture any way you want to. You can read it. But we have the ability as his children to understand it. So don't minimize that. If anybody ever says, have you experienced anything supernatural? You know, a lot of Baptists say, no, we don't believe in supernatural. Yes, you have. The fact that God has come into your life is a supernatural event. And the mere fact that you can understand what God says to you in Scripture is supernatural. It's not only supernatural, but it's supernatural. A natural man understandeth not the things of God. If you can take the Bible and understand what he's telling you, if you can get the lessons that we're talking about today, he's in you. The Holy Spirit is using those words to teach you. It's not what I'm saying. It's what he's doing. But He's in there working. He's taking the words that you hear. He's taking the words off of it. The pain that you're going down. I listen to some of them when I'm going to work. You know, I really feel my soul. So we should always be appreciative of the scriptures. Always be thankful. We should always be appreciative for Christian fellowship. You know? The mere fact that we can come together and have, you know, a bunch of different personalities, a bunch of different people, and have worship focusing on one God in community is amazing. You come Wednesday nights, there's pandemonium, but it's great, isn't it? We got kids going here, we got the older kids in here, we got everything going on, but it's wonderful. And that's what God wants us to do. Christian fellowship. The tie that binds us together here is the appreciation of all these things. And all the little differences, God gives us anything when we focus on this. We need to be appreciative of Christian fellowship. And we should be appreciative of the privilege of this. And like I told you with Linus, that Linus' quoting of Luke 2 was in response to what's Christmas all about? A real simple question. And frankly, a question people are still asking today. What's Christmas really about? Well, you have the ability to tell them what Christmas is about. And then they have this, right? They have the choice of what to do with it. But they have the choice of what to do with it. And you see, our responsibility as Christians and our privilege as Christians is to share. That's a privilege. We've got, you know, let's say that we had the cure. We had the cure for COVID. Do you think that if somehow we got it in this church today, do you think we could all be running out to tell people, hey, we found the cure for COVID? We've got the cure, though, for something even worse than COVID, because we've got the cure for death and eternal damnation. But we don't tell. We've got an awesome privilege and an awesome. These are good news if we've got what we need to be sure. So, if we start to wind up, we can always be appreciative of all these things. You may have some others. Why are you joyful? Is there something else in your world that, in relation to God, brings joy to your life? If it does, add it to that outline. Latch on to it. Because when troubled times come, when those trials come, we're still supposed to choose joy. And if we focus on the circumstances, we have problems. The other thing that saps us of joy is our sin. Now, if you're steeped in the joy of God, steeped in all the appreciation of the character of God, the work of God, spiritual blessings, divine providence, scriptural Christian fellowship, and the presence of witnesses, whatever else you've been able to add to that list, sin's going to have a tough time taking you there. But if it does, it should be short-lived. Because as Christians, we have the ability to confess that sin, and He is faithful and just to forgive. So that ought to know, I should put that one up there too. Appreciation of God's forgiveness. In fact, you know what? That probably came from God under the word. Appreciation of God's forgiveness. Is there any sin that we can commit that He cannot forgive us of? Christ died for all our sins, and all we have to do is make this choice to say, yes, I accept it. Yes, I know that I can't pay my sin debt. I need somebody to. And the only person to pay is Jesus. But all of those things can bring us joy. And you know what? Let the wind blow, let the viruses come, let all the stuff come in at this. We can't take that type of joy away. Doesn't mean we're not going to be sick, doesn't mean we're not going to be persecuted, doesn't mean we might have health problems. It doesn't even mean we might die. But what it means is that no matter what happens, we are always going to have good. It is the well-being that comes from the deep down confidence that God is in perfect control of my life and this life. That is the thing. So what we're supposed to do with it, we're supposed to receive the joy of the Lord. We are supposed to show the joy of the Lord. And the good message, show the joy of the Lord. And the good thing is, we are supposed to share the joy of the Lord. The shepherd shared it, Mary shared it, everybody that ever experienced find somebody to share the joy of the Lord. And if they ask you, do you still believe in Jesus? Yes, I do. Well, what's this he's talking about? Lift out the Bible, Luke 2, you know where you are, right? Well, better yet, there are some in parables of that. But you can tell them about what happened and how you can see. Because it is good news for a good time. Father, we thank you for your word again today. We thank you for sending the joy of the Lord. We thank you for sending Jesus. For showing us that through him, we can have complete, full joy, hope, and peace. Lord, we're getting closer to the celebration of your testimony. We're closer to understanding the love that you have for us. I just ask that every one of you today would know confidence that they have experienced you, that they have accepted you in a personal relationship as Lord and Savior, and that they have the ability to have this joy that they have to use it. Lord, if there's anybody here who does not yet have that joy, I ask that you work in their hearts today and get them to the point where they're ready to receive you. Lord, if there's anybody in this congregation to do to help out, please show us that you need to do it. Lord, as we go today, we ask you just to always keep in our hearts and minds what is the true reason for this sin. We're preparing for your coming. We're preparing for the grace and love that you've got to be bestowed on us. And let us always be on this shore. Lord, for those of us who are Christians, keep us in this shore. Show us how to obey. Show us how to be man. Show us how to always be filled with the joy. Just grab your water in the simple place. You can see something.